Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume, improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit RackPorcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table. Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume. Improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Hello, fam, and welcome to Walk in Circles podcast, where Circle C farm owner Nicole Cruz and me, Carl Fiadini, founder of Walk and Talk podcast, get into what propels the business of agriculture and delicious, delicious food. Now, speaking of delicious food, I want to talk about the Schlisselmeister and some amazing, amazing barbecue that we've been just, it's on social media. It was another podcast, the Walk and Talk podcast. Oh, my God. And so, Nicole, of course, you're on the line already.
Yes, I am.
And how the hell are you?
I am great. How are you?
Man, I love that. I'm great too. If I was any better, I don't know what I would do with myself.
Hey, it's the beginning of the week. It can only go up from here.
Yeah, don't say that. That's terrible. You just actually, I'm deflated now. That was, you know.
Hey, it's a full moon. I'm just trying to get past the full moon.
Right. Yes. I'm all of, I locked myself. I'm in a room actually, and I can't get out for 24 hours. It's crazy.
That was probably smart.
Yes. So we were just talking about some pork shoulder, or did we say pork schlolder from the Chef Jeffrey Schlissel menu, right?
The Schlissel schlolder.
Yeah. So folks, when you're saying chef's name, Chef Jeffrey, his last name is Schlissel, but you have to say it like you've just had like a fifth of some sort of alcoholic beverage, right? Some scotch or whiskey or something like that. And that's how you say Schlissel. Yeah. And you're good to go.
Schlissel.
Yes. He's going to love this podcast, by the way. You saw the pictures and stuff on the social media, right?
Yeah. I mean, they were divine. And as a matter of fact, it propelled me to go through my big freezer and I grabbed a 6-pound pork shoulder bone in.
Oh my God.
To which I'm going to be texting Chef Jeffrey Schlissel tomorrow to ask him for his secret recipe again.
I don't know what he's doing tomorrow, but, chances are he's going to be in his vehicle,
yes,
on his way down to Bonita Springs to
headed to the farm.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I that wouldn't surprise me. He'll pop up at the gate and be like, knock, knock.
Yeah, hey, I'm here with the spice rub and everything. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm here to rub the shoulders.
I'm here to rub the meat. You know, it was so
He described that in such detail, and he's right.
It was so inappropriate, but funny, though.
Yeah, it was so accurate. But from a culinary standpoint, he was spot on, because he talked about taking the meat, preparing it properly relative to
the animal,
the thawing and all of that stuff, and then preparing his like seasonings of love and just all that goodness that he rubs all over it. I mean, if you're really going to work a piece of meat and you're going to spend that time preparing it and you're going to put it in your smoker and you're going to go through all of that, it's an experience from beginning to end. It should be.
I like how he gave a lot of respect to the animal itself for this whole, you know, for the whole, yeah, of course, for the whole production, right? And that's where it gets really cool. Well, before we started that podcast, I was like, listen, we're talking sexy food. Okay. So, you know, I want you to like really, really, you know, ham it up, make it provocative, you know, and he delivered. He really did. And you know what? This is honestly is one of my favorite, it was one of my favorite podcasts to do, because it was like such from the gut, you know, and I don't know. It was cool. It's episode 29, just came out this morning. What is today? Yes, the 7th, right? Today's 7th?
Yes, okay. It is.
Yeah, so at about 4:30 a.m., I published that here on the 7th. So it's available now on Spotify and wherever you get your content.
And definitely worth the listen.
Yeah, definitely worth the listen, man. All right, so, and you see, there was another buddy of mine, Chef Peter Curry. And I knew him from South Florida. He moved up to, he's up in Alabama, Tennessee, Alabama. I think he's in Alabama now. But yeah, man, he's jumping in too. He's like, look, I want to get this, the Schlissel guy. And I want to get together and cook. It's getting pretty testy on the social media. I think it was on, I don't know if that was Instagram or Facebook or one of them. So yeah, it's good. So
they're getting ready to throw down.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's going to be a culinary throwdown. Oh, which, by the way, we're going to be doing something. I don't know if I told you this, but so one of my dear friends, her name is Coco Frey, and she works for a company called Korn, which is Q-U-O-R-N. And it's kind of like, it's a meat alternative, like a fungi based meat alternative. And it's pretty good. It's pretty good stuff. Long and short is they have some product like this alternative meat in the crumble form and the pieces, like little chunk pieces form. And
all right.
So what we're going to do, we're going to get like four of our Walk and Talk culinary partners, our chefs that we deal with. And we're going to do like a bolognese challenge. Okay. And we're going to use the meat alternative. Now, I know this goes against, like, I'm not big on meat alternatives per se, because I am a carnivore. I just give me the meat. I don't keep your veggies and all that. I just, you know, give me the meat, but,
give me fork, knife and meat.
That's it. And you can keep your fork and a knife too. Like, just leave me alone with the product. I'm good to go. So with that said, I do appreciate all things culinary, and this stuff is pretty good. Now I love a freaking bolognese. I love like a real bolognese. And so far, the best one that I have ever had was by Chef Thomas Parker over at the Carroll Hotel in Clearwater, St. Pete.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh my God. It genuinely.
Is it worth the drive? Because that's a 2.5 hour drive for me.
It's worth the drive. It's literally, it literally makes me happy. Now you have to understand.
That's impressive.
It is, but you have to understand something, like that's one of my favorite dishes always. So, this one happens to be my favorite. So if you're not into a bolognese, you know, whatever, maybe, but this is so good. Anyway. So we're having this, I don't know, a month ago, whatever it was, a month ago, we're doing a podcast and we were talking about Korn. And then we had like a week or two later, we went and saw Chef Thomas, and his bolognese came up, and all of a sudden, now we're going to be doing really soon, we're going to do a 4-way chef challenge on the bolognese. Who makes the best one?
Nice.
But they're going to use the meat alternative. That's the, the rub, so to speak. No pun intended for the.
Okay.
See what I did there? I brought it back circle there.
I do. You circled around.
I did.
I'm liking it. But I do have a question.
Okay.
Yes. So you mentioned the fungi.
Mm-hmm. That's me.
So I'm a fungi. Are they going to be? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know you're a fungi. But
I can dad joke side. All day long.
And we'll let you. How's
yes.
that?
Yes, yes, yes.
So are they going to be using mushrooms, or are they going to be using more of the commercialized meat alternatives that have hit the market?
We're actually going to – I already received the product from Korn that we're going to use.
Oh.
Yes.
So when is this event?
So we're working on the dates and
– Okay.
And where we're doing this. So, yes, okay. We're triangulating as we speak.
Okay.
Yes.
So, now, are you going to do a podcast during the whole experience?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know if we're going to podcast we're going to just, if it's straight video or doing it live. I'm going to put that together because I want it to be super cool. So it might be like some combination.
Snippets.
Yeah. You know, like we'll maybe we set up the podcast. So I bought some cool equipment that, you know, we can actually do wireless video feeds.
Oh, you mentioned that.
Yeah. And I really haven't used it. We use it once over at, Cahaba Club Farms over there in Keystone with Marvin and his microgreens. Awesome dude. And, so that was like literally like I got him the night before. I didn't know the equipment, and I just brought it. I wasn't expecting to use it, but as it turns out, we were kind of messing around and we used it, but not to its fullest potential or capacity. So with that said, I got to tool around it a little bit more, but yeah, we got this really badass equipment, and I don't even like we use good cameras and whatnot, but. To do like a wireless, I can either use like, you know, one of the Nikons, or I can even hook it up to a cell phone. So, I mean, when you're talking about,
no, like, that's awesome.
It is, because when you're talking about like mobility and run and gun and, you know, we have all this equipment and everything, it's kind of cool, but, it's nice to have like a non-complicated device, you know, where you plug something in and you just walk with it. And all of a sudden it's transmitting back to the, you know, through the audio and the, you know, the video switchers and, you know, all this stuff. It's really, really, and it's really cool. So when I'm going to talk about, you know, equipment and stuff, I'm going to really start geeking out and I'm going to put on my dork voice and stuff. You know what I'm saying?
No,
I just put on my glasses.
But when you come down, let's try it here.
Oh, hell yeah. No, absolutely. It's got a,
yeah, so that would be really cool.
So supposedly it's got 1,000 foot,
reach.
Yeah.
So I can test that, baby.
Oh, yeah. We can do some damage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
That might be really interesting, especially if I'm going to get the fiddle and the recorder and I'm going to go out with the laying hens.
I mean, that's with the chicken suit, right?
Yeah.
I mean, listen, if you're going to do
it. I did look, based on our conversation last week in our last episode, when we talked about the fiddle and the chickens following us or following me. I did look for one. So I have not forgotten that. I'm definitely going to pursue it because at this point now my curiosity is raised and I want to know whether or not it's like one of those myths or no type of thing.
Look, if you're dressing up in a chicken suit and you're going to be walking around with a fiddle with like, how many birds are going to be following you potentially?
At that point, probably just over 4,000.
Yeah. Listen, I'm going to bring every piece of equipment I have and I'm going to bring like, friends and family just to carry the equipment. Like I'm going to come full staff. Like this is going to be,
we're going to really make a moment out of this.
Yeah.
So
yes.
I do think that would be fun. I did not forget it. I visualized it. I watched them following the tractor when we were moving houses earlier.
We're bringing the drone. I'm bringing Willie with the handheld. We're going to have like stationary cameras. It's going to be just, it's going to be stupid.
Full on. Okay. That'll be fun.
A full on, you know, video assault on the farm.
Chicken marching situation. I don't know.
I'm trying to think of something that rhymes with fiddler on the roof, but I that's, you know, that fits here, but it is late in the evening here. So I don't, you know, whatever.
Yeah. I'm drawing a blank on that one. Like, you know, we'll come up chickens with on the pasture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Don't you worry. I'll come up with something real snappy.
All right. I'm creative, you know, like that. So thank you.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? I know you know what I'm saying. All right. So listen, I Googled something interesting here.
Right. What'd you do?
I'm telling you, I'm going to tell you what I did. So, I went to the Google machine and I put, agriculture hot topics. I didn't even put the year. Ooh. I just put that. And what came up, like number one thing here, it says trends transforming the agriculture industry outlook in 2023. That is, if I'm not mistaken, this year, right? Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Does that mean you're putting me in the hot seat?
I'm going to put you in a hot seat. Yeah. We're going to do like this. I'm going to do there's 10, we're going to do 8 questions, right?
Okay.
Or let me see.
Go.
Hold on. Wait a second. Don't rush me. This is where you can't push greatness. What are we doing here? Hold on. All right. We're going to do like a rapid fire. Yeah, but
now you've piqued my curiosity as to what you're going to rapid fire me with question wise.
Well, don't worry. It's all above board. This could get tin hatty a little bit, but at the end of the day, it's
okay.
I didn't come up with these questions. Google did. So we're going to start with, and listen, you don't have to get deep dive into this stuff. The rules of engagement here are, we're not looking to hurt the innocent or ourselves. So at the end of the day, final analysis is you can do short or, you know, mid-sized long answers, right?
Okay. Is this like speed dating where you're going like speed ag topics?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's no real commitment. You get to walk around with a cocktail, something like that. You're good to go. All right.
Cool. I'm missing, but next week.
Yes. All right. So.
All right. Go. I'm ready.
Number one, animal vaccines.
Chefs and food buyers. Let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Okay. I don't necessarily believe in them. I only think they need to be used when absolutely necessary. We personally do not vaccinate anything except our mama cows. And the only reason we do that is because we have other cattle farms around us and it's a herd health thing. But other than that, we're a no-vax farm.
And I would guess, I'm sorry, I just took the rapid fire away from this. I would guess that a lot of the independent farms probably wouldn't be kind of messing around with that, right? Is that safe to assume?
Yes. The majority of the farmers that I speak to, with the exception of beef, simply because if they're exposed to other herds around them for transfer, most of the farmers that I know do not vaccinate.
Okay.
Because they don't deem it necessary.
I feel like that one deserved just a little bit of extra time.
Yeah, no, I would agree. You know, the thing is that if your animals are staying put on your property and you don't have animals coming and going, and you have closed flocks or closed herds or closed groups, then you shouldn't have to need to do that because you have a closed group in which they are self-sustainingly healthy.
Yeah, I saw on Amazon.
They shouldn't have to be vaccinated against things.
Amazon has little cow masks too. little N95 cow masks. They're cool. I mean, I'm just saying. All right, I'm only kidding. All right, so.
You're losing me there.
It was a joke. All right, so.
I got you.
All right, number two in our fast track trends transforming the agriculture industry outlook in 2023. Number two, attracting new people.
That could be in lots of different layers. So I'll take it from the standpoint of the like what you and I both do on a daily basis, which is educating the people around us to what's good food or what's good or healthy farming practices, which ultimately results in good, healthy food. I think for me, it's attracting those people is by education, sharing, and openly communicating what you do or don't do on a farm, or what it takes to function on a farm, or just what it takes to farm or to engage in farming.
All right. So to be clear, this isn't sending the animals to the salon for a makeover, right?
Okay. No, no. Are you kidding?
Okay. Just wanted to, you know, extensions or something like that. No. Okay. All right. Botox.
No, that might kind of look, well, you know, some of our hair sheep have some Rastafarian looking things going on.
Nice. I want to hang out with those cats.
Yeah. They may be entitled to a little bit of, extra TLC to take care of their hair or their lack of.
I like what you're saying. Number three.
What you got?
Increased income for small farmers. Where do I sign? Where do we sign up for that? Right. I mean.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Because if you're small or small medium farmers, most of the time if you're covering your costs, you're very fortunate. I think one of the things that I have seen here in Florida, and we have a very strong agritourism association, which is a benefit for those of us who are farming here in Florida, that there's a lot of support. Well, some counties are more supportive than others, but generally speaking, the intention in Florida is to be Florida agriculture supportive. And the idea is to engage in more agritourism, which is allowing a lot of farmers the opportunity to share what they're doing, explain and show what they're doing, but also to engage in activities that are going to be more income generating. So for example, if somebody has a property and they have cattle, they may decide to put in like a little wedding venue type of pole barn or something like that up.
An Airbnb or something like that on property?
Yep. Some are doing that. And I think that that's also an opportunity for them to help offset some of the income needs relative to agriculture. Some are building pole barns so that they can have weddings and events or family gatherings where they rent out that space under the auspices of agritourism. Other farms are putting like little farm stands on their property where they maybe didn't do that before. So there's different ways that you can increase your income as farmers.
I mean, dare I say, Mr. Governor, if you're listening or you hear this, or somebody that, you know, might know the Governor, you know, the Walk and Talk podcast and Walk in Circles podcast, like, we can kind of help get the word out if we're looking to drive, you know, people here and to support this particular initiative. I mean, I think we should all talk about it. All right. So
you're talking about agritourism in general.
Yes, indeed. Yes.
Yeah. I agree. I think that there's so much that our communities can learn and beyond just saying, oh, there's farmers here that live around us, but actually like, what are they doing? How are we engaging? I mean, people don't realize that the depth and the breadth of agriculture in the state of Florida.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just incredible.
Well,
absolutely incredible what we do here.
It is. And unfortunately, it's like the footprint of that is shrinking by the year. Which is, you know, that's a travesty in and of itself.
Yeah. And that's a topic we can go into, you know, now. We can also, you know, let's have conversations later in different depths.
Yeah. Let's
that's definitely
that one.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, let's save that.
Yeah, you can't have condos.
No, you can't have condos. Yeah,
you can't have condos and cattle on the same space.
Hold it for the game. All right. Number four. Now this could be creepy. Number four, crop monitoring and other technologies. And I feel like when I say that, I feel like at the mm-hmm. end it should be something like crop monitoring and other technologies, something like that.
Yeah, but it depends on how you're looking at it. So it can kind of be spun both ways. You can talk about it from the standpoint of the invasive monitoring in a way that's like micromanagement, but you can also look at it from an AI standpoint. And we have a lot of AI going on, and people are now just realizing how much AI is out there mm-hmm. and they're interacting with it, but a lot of times they don't even realize it. But from an agriculture, whether you're doing crops or you're doing livestock, if you really start to look at the technology advancements, there's the generational differences in how to utilize technology for bottom line benefit really is pretty stellar. If you start looking at the software programs and you start collecting your data, like I wrote an app. So I put together my own app and that's in progress, and we're in testing with that here at the farm. And it's a way to utilize a technology so that everybody on the farm or in the little space is moving forward together and then has the same heading. Mm-hmm. So there's so many ways of utilizing technology in positive, forward-thinking ways and not in an invasive type of setting. Then the whole different component to technology is there are some farms that have transitioned to minimal human labor because they actually have drone-style tech, or they have self-driving or automated machinery and equipment. So mm-hmm. it's actually going out in farming, instead of having multiple humans, you actually have a piece of machinery that can run 24/7. So you don't have downtimes, you don't have breaks,
That's just not fair to the AI.
To what, work 24/7?
Yeah, I mean, that's not fair. No, but I think it might have been today or yesterday. I was watching something about ChatGPT or whatever that is.
Yep.
And how, you know, people are asking it questions about itself and, you know, how would it live by itself, or, you know, what's the best way, you know, with or without humans. And the answers, the replies, it's pretty, I don't know, man.
What did it say? Because honestly, I have versed myself on it. I just didn't read those questions.
So basically the one of the questions was something to the effect of how would you get along in a way that humans weren't involved? The question was built like that. And the answer was basically, yeah, like awesome. You know, like it's better. and then they had to word it in another way to, you know, like to try to like bring it back. Like, hey, what's the path to, you know, getting, you know, to be with the humans or whatever. And it just didn't seem to jive. You know what I mean? I'm going to find,
'cause it doesn't recognize the need for human connection.
Basically. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to find what I was looking at there. 'Cause I hate not having like quotes and precise, verbiage or whatever, but, it was something to that effect. It, you know, I looked at it like both, it wasn't like one eyebrow raise. I was like, mouth a gap, you know, my eyes were up. I was actually running. It was a whole thing.
But if you go back to look at the ChatGPT mm-hmm. and you look at the back end of it, it's pulling from the database of content that it has.
Yeah,
based on the last couple of days. Yeah, but it's based on all the human mental dumping. So it's only as good as its collective cauldron of information. It is not out searching the web to date
until
for you, answers
until you ask it to. See, that's the kicker. It's all there,
okay,
right? See, so it does what you ask it. So if you ask it to start thinking about feelings, and you ask it to start feeling, it has all of the data. But now you're asking it to think about itself, and it's, it's pretty fascinating. It really is. Like that whole topic is amazing. But and who knows? You know what I mean? We've all seen too many. We've been in just inundated with sci-fi, movies and stuff since you're born. And at this stage, it's like what's real, what's not. That could all happen. Who knows? I don't know. What do I know?
Well, the thing is that even if it does happen, the truth of the matter is garbage in, garbage out, good in, good out. Like, it's all dependent upon the content that it has to source from.
True story.
So if it's been given bad information, then it's going to give you a bad answer. I mean, in the most simplistic of thing. But the other thing too, is that as having spent so many years in education and being such a voracious reader myself and trying to absorb as much things around me so that I can, I do a lot of meta-analysis, so I suck in like a sponge everything I possibly can. And really what it boils down to with the AI piece for me is you still have to be able to read the answer and discern as a human whether or not the answer or response is logical or not.
Right.
Because I can ask it, what are the easiest steps to do this? And it can give it to me and I can go, okay, great. Let me go run out and put a business plan together or whatever based on that. But if it doesn't make sense or it's not logical or you don't have the problem-solving skills in the core intellectual concepts.
There needs to be a comprehension attached to it as a whole.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, great, it can give me the business plan, but if it's not executed by a human, probably not going to happen.
There's the nuance. It has to capture the nuance of whatever it is that you're, getting into, because it's probably not. Yeah. I don't think anything today is like so cut and measured and dry and whatnot.
But we digressed.
Yes. We digress. All right. So number five of trends.
My ADD kicked in.
Yeah. Believe me. Chad, oh my God. I just took 7 Adderall. No, I'm kidding. I don't even have that. I don't even know what it is. All right. So trends transforming the agriculture industry outlook in 2023. Number five, which is focus on tariffs.
Oof. All right. So that's a short answer for me. I don't export. I don't import. My focus is feeding my local community and my extended Circle C farm family. So I don't have much experience with that.
That sounds so snooty. I'm going to tell you. I'm kidding. No, I mean.
But it's the truth.
It is. And I love it. That's actually the best. That's probably the best answer right there. Like if I was Chad, I'd be like, all right, you win. You win the internet today.
Okay. Well, wait, the audience is clapping for me.
All right. So if it's not applicable here, then, move on. All right. Number six. Food safety.
Oh, that's so many topics.
It is.
Okay.
I mean, we can start with the lowest form of this, which is, we agree. Food safety. Yes. Good thing. It's a good thing. It's important. Start from there. Yes. Very important. I am not a proponent of massive oversights and, from the, whether it's a local municipality or federal or whatever and everything in between. But when it comes to food safety and when somebody's putting a HACCP plan together or, Primus or whatever it's going to be, I'm down for that in every way because
me too.
The truth is with the food and, listen, man, like not everybody's like so,
clean
and trustworthy and, the work ethic and the output that they, it's just, so I'm all about the food safety, scenario.
And I live in food safety land. I live in HACCP land.
Yeah.
So with all the different alphabets that I deal with, it's a critical component to what we do. And honestly, I find it to be for me, it's a very welcome component because it's how I operate just of my own personal OCDs about just food and cleanliness and things like that. But it provides a really solid structure when you're dealing with people who may or may not have had the background or the experience, or they're coming from very diverse backgrounds, cultures, experiences of how you use, how you eat, how you prepare, how you do anything related or around food. So for me, the HACCP plans, the department of, you know, the department of this or department of that plans or requirements, I think is a positive, a true positive, because it allows for that neutral conversation to occur to ensure that everybody is following the same process, same procedure, the same sanitizing regimens, all of those things with the intention of keeping everybody healthy. And so for that, from just a generic, when you say food safety, that's the first thing that comes to mind. Because there is nothing that we don't do that isn't paper trailed, because we're required by all the different alphabets we deal with. So
alphabets are awesome.
That's a good thing. Some days.
Psych. Well, I mean, yeah, no, they are. It's good.
Psych. I haven't heard that in a long time.
I always bring it back old school. I always bring it back. Like, you can count on me to take it, you know, 1986 every day,
okay,
if possible.
All right, I will keep that in mind. I will not give you anything to drink after 12 o'clock.
Right, exactly. There you go. Say good. Nice, you know. All right, gotcha. For all of you, you know, people born in, you know, in like 1999 or something like that, that's the gremlins.
Yeah, you have no idea what we're talking about.
No idea. Man, it sucks. Yeah, that is the crap. Nope. The Gates of the world and all these people, you know, they want to live forever, I think. They got it right. You know, who doesn't want to live forever and to talk about like stuff from, you know, the 80s, right? To where it makes sense. I don't know.
I didn't mind the 80s. The collar was up, the layered socks.
Yeah.
You know.
80s were cool, man.
Tucking your pants into your socks.
Songs are terrific. The movies were cool. Like everything. I don't know. All right. Trends. Transforming the agricultural industry outlook in 2023. Question number 7. Hemp production.
Oof. Wow. I have agriculture colleagues that are growing hemp.
Yes.
We do have it in the community. I can tell you that as far as I know, it still hasn't been rolled out as an approved feed source for livestock.
But they're rolling it for sure.
I think there's... yes, they are.
Sorry.
They're absolutely rolling it. Yeah. Wow, you jumped on that opportunity, didn't you?
Saw that. But shoot. Listen, this is all impromptu. Yeah. None of this is, folks, yeah. Listen, none of this is scripted. Nothing is scripted here. This is all like off the cuff. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Forgive me.
No, you're fine. I think it's interesting. I think that there's a lot of incredible products. Now, let's circle back around to additional income for farmers or farming. There's a lot of byproduct that can be used as a result of processing hemp. So those materials and cloths and things like that can be converted into other products, which are then an opportunity for being able to sell a product that has not been altered or adjusted.
I feel like I'm in some cases, I can like kind of hang myself as the, or paint myself as the average consumer, right?
Okay.
Now, hemp as...
Yes.
Right. If they did, if they need to change their branding with it, because it really, you know, I'm not into the Birkenstock lifestyle, you know. However, I'm not against, you know, like, I get it. Like, we can, it's cool, you know, like, you know, I see you, it's cool, you know what I mean? But at the end of the day, it's like, you know, every hemp company has that same look.
A green leaf.
It's that same, yeah. Like, you know, yeah, I don't want to start calling people like, yeah, it's that. Yes. And indeed that.
Jeffrey says hello, by the way. He does. What did he do? Text you?
I told him that, we're on the podcast right now. And that we're totally busting on him. And he's like, oh, tell her I said hello and I'm on my way.
He's on his way. I better go pull. I better go. Yeah. Well, I have a couple pigs hanging in the hanging cooler right now. Nice. That we're going to break down in the next couple of days. So I might have to send him a picture and ask him to circle what part he wants.
You know, we're going to do something too, and maybe we can do it over by you.
Okay.
You know, so you know that Jeffrey's going to, he's looking to open his butcher shop, right?
I do.
Yeah.
I'm pretty excited about it.
Me too,
but you know, we're tangenting. Do you want to circle back around to this in a second?
Okay. Yeah. You're right.
I know. It's our ADD goes running.
Yes, it does. All right. So, hemp production, thumbs up, thumbs down.
I think it's a thumbs up as long as it's being utilized in a way that is, as with anything, is being done responsibly. Go for it.
And I'm going to say thumbs up.
We need to utilize our natural resources.
I agree. And I'm going to say thumbs up. There's
a lot of medicinal purposes.
I'm going to go with you and I'm going to say thumbs up also. But the caveat is I don't want it to have to look like Birkenstock Central. That's all. All right. Trends transforming the agriculture.
Well, I have a pair of those Birks, by the way.
I'm sure you do.
I don't think it's defining. I have two pairs.
It is. And I'm not judging you per se. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what Percy is, right? Per se, but I don't judge that. This is the judgment free circle. Get it? All right.
It's a safe space to walk in.
It is totally safe space, but not if you're walking in the Birkenstock. All right. So number eight is
okay.
And this is, by the way, the last question. And also I think a terrific want to end this particular segment with it, which is interaction with clients. That means, I mean, that's what it's all about, right, Taryn? Ooh. Go. I know you're with. Go.
Okay. Are you talking about like social media, phone calls, text messages, videos?
So when I read that,
talking,
knowing the heading of the topic and just seeing that question, I think it's about knowing who your farmers are, like where are they at? You know, who are they? Where are they located? How do I get there? And, you know, do they ship it? Can I go pick it up? I think that's what it, in my eyes, that's what it is. Who's your local, who's your farmer? And the farmer should be doing the same thing. Like, hey, who's my, who are my clients? Who are my neighbors? You know, how do I get my information? How do I disseminate that to them, to these people?
Yep.
You know, I just think
that's not an easy task.
No, it's not. Especially if you're focused on, raising or growing, marketing might not be your forte.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit rackporcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table.
Yes, the majority of farmers that I talk to, they did not come up through with marketing and communication or sales experiences, whether it's formal or informal.
Right. I mean,
and that is one thing that a lot of small farmers struggle with. They have a lot of,
No. So somewhere along the way, they put a business plan together and it had everything to do with, yield, but it, had nothing to do with sales. You know, how do I sell it? How do I get the brand out? How do I, how are people going to know who I am? Yeah.
And there's also a misconception that just because you do grow it, somebody's going to come buy it. Because as you know, with your background in distribution and in the food space, it's a lot of it has to do with not only pricing, but convenience as well as availability.
Do you know
and
something horrible? Like when COVID, the week, and I think it was in March, the week when the restaurant industry absolutely shut down and the retail, grocery and everything just skyrocketed and everybody was like, filling up their pantries. Well, there was a lot of things happening in the background that many people didn't realize at that time. And basically you have, restaurants receive product on panel trucks, 16 footer, 24 footer, something like that. Well, grocery stores get semi trucks. Well, to get the product from the farm to a distribution center to where all of that big, you know, the semi truck goes to the distribution center because it's set up that way, offloaded. And then when orders come in, they go on the smaller trucks and distribute it around town. All of the big grocery stores weren't able, if you remember, like there was a lot of shortages on the shelf. I'm not even talking toilet paper. I'm talking about in like the produce aisle and, yeah, and other aisles as well. But ultimately they couldn't get the semis into the stores because the stores aren't set up for semis. And there was like this major gap. Now, what was going on in the background is, for example, that week, the company that I was working for, I think we took 3 semis ourselves. Like we just got fresh, like a lot of money, like a lot of product dropped off. And there was no more cost to like the clientele. Everything stopped. We weren't servicing anyone.
Because the restaurants were closed.
Everything went to a crashing halt all at once overnight. And so what happened is places like us were sitting on all this product and nowhere to bring it. Like, cause we're not set up with grocery. Like we can't go to just start dropping stuff off in public. So like, yeah, you know, get in line or, you know, we got to go through lawyers and
They have a very laborious QA process and SQR process and all that stuff.
Yeah. Right. But so there was a jam there, but then now there's a jam at the farm, right? Because they can't, the semis had, they're going to go there, but then they got nowhere to bring the product. So everything kind of stopped. So what you had was product just dying in the field or dying in the back of, you know, somebody's pickup truck loaded with fruit and veg on the side of the road. And where these people are, where they were parking their Silverados and their, you know, their rigs like that to sell off the back of the truck because there was a need. They were in places where nobody drives there. Like, it's not like they were going driving to the city center into a box store parking lot and saying, hey, here I am. No, they were like off the side of the road. Like you would normally find them in the country. You know what I mean? So it was a massive fail in terms of logistics and all of that. So I don't know. It's, did I take that too long? I don't know. Did it make sense what I said?
That's okay. It did. Well, there's been a lot of shifts and dynamic changes, you know, through the last couple of years. And I think that theoretically, the systems are being looked at and evaluated. I mean, they should be. I don't know that.
It comes back to knowing where you're, like, for example, so I told that whole story because had everyone kind of knew where to go, you know, during that particular heightened situation, you know, it wouldn't have mattered whether the box store had product on the shelf or not. Cause you'd have been like, oh, I'm just going to go over to, you know, farm A, B, and C, preferably C.
Yeah. But the other thing with that though, is that people don't, one, realize where most of the farms are. Two, don't necessarily know, because there's no particular like food center, food hub, other than what people have been conditioned for. And that's the grocery stores or a farm stand that they know that they go to, but they don't necessarily know where that food is sourced.
Yeah. And those farm stands are terrific.
There's a lot
terrific.
Of layers with that stuff.
The farm stands are terrific, but they're getting typically from distributors.
Yes. It depends on where you're going.
There's a lot of variables there, but you know, end of the day,
the majority of the ones that I have seen are not the product that they are selling is not product that they are producing.
Correct. Or it's, you know, small percentages, whatever, but
right.
And there's nothing, and by the way, there's nothing wrong with that, you know?
No.
And they are doing a service, and typically, because their overhead is so low, compared to a grocery store or a box store or something like that, you're getting good prices and it's fresher. And yeah, I mean, there's definitely a need and it's nice. Don't get me wrong. Wasn't a negative.
Yeah. No. It's just, I have had people ask me because we work with a particular farm in our area, and they're a certified organic farm. And we talked about what my position is on relative to certified organic, so we don't need to go there. But one of the things I explained to them is the reason why we work with this particular farm is one, because they're a family farm, and two, moreover, because their level of true organic is like ours in the sense that they use vinegar and peroxide for cleaning and sanitizing, or as they're antimicrobial, they're not using chemicals on the short list of chemical approved chemicals. So, you know, it's farmers should be able to find and work with other farmers that have a like-minded philosophy and engagement with the product that they're working with. So that is important.
It is. So I think as we just wrapped the question, rapid fire question session yes. here.
you mean that's it? You don't have anything else for me?
No, not for that. I think, I mean, there was two more questions, but they were, I mean, you want me to, well, so I think,
no, sorry.
It's all right. So what I'm thinking is, we need to figure out the, work on that roadmap, the roadmap of, connecting neighbors to, grow sources, you know, whether it's,
I would agree.
Yeah. Whether it's, you know, animals or fruit and veg, whatever. At the end of the day,
yeah,
know, we're all connected, but we need to actually know how to find each other.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen with their premium solutions. You'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
Yeah, and I think that that's something that, like, so the, particularly, you and I have a benefit of being here in Florida, because, and we've kind of referenced this before, we're able to produce year-round something. Mm-hmm. So we actually have fresh product that we're producing year-round, which is fantastic. And that's separate from livestock. I'm just talking about the produce and the fruit and the fruit and produce industry yeah. and vegetables. And so that's pretty awesome because for us, for the most part, when you do find your local farmers, or you have local farmers that are producing year round something, then you have the ability to eat seasonally. And so that's another component to sharing with people. Because we're a global society, we have this, we've been somewhat conditioned that you can walk into a food grocery store, market, box store, and say, I want this. I'm in the mood for it. I know it comes from halfway across the world, but how convenient, I have it here. And it's only, you know, a couple of days old or whatever. So it's still a fresh, you know, really great edible product. And so we've kind of gotten conditioned to that. But one of the things that we try to do is to look at the seasonality here in Florida of what we're growing fruits and vegetables and crop wise, and really be able to say, how can we capitalize on the freshness of the season. So like we're in strawberry season. I love strawberries. So as we're going into it, for me, it's so exciting because we can grab hold of as much fresh product as we want, prepare it, manipulate it, can it, freeze it, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then as we go into the next season, we're able to do the same thing. And like, that's so exciting because, and maybe people, you know, again, if you're here with us in Florida or the Southeast region, your temperatures are different, your seasons may be different, but anywhere, wherever you are in the country, if you can go to the U-Pix and you can go to your farm stands, then go do that. Like spend a couple hours out picking strawberries or picking blueberries or picking oranges or whatever U-Pix experience you have. Like go experience that because as somebody who's a visitor to the farm, you're not going to get the same labor style experience as you would if you were actually working the farm, but it's going to give you a whole different perspective of the amount of time, the energy, the love, the intensity, the money, the expense, the just everything that it goes into creating that farm environment, creating a situation in which you've got enough product that's being produced that you can go in, as well as staff on the farm can pick for you. So it's such a cool experience to go out and try it. You know, go out and you pick, like go find that farm. If you're trying to reconnect with your community or you want to know what's around you, then get on one of the Facebook pages or one of the groups and go look for the farms around you to go experience this. Because not all farms are going to be open for it because different farms and different dynamics or setups or liabilities, but there are farms that are specifically out there advertising for UPIC.
And not all farms are the same.
Yes, and not all farms are the same. So, you know, go out there and check it out. We have a really awesome Facebook page here in Florida. It's the Florida Farm Finder. And it's just an amazing page. It is an amazing page. There's I think there's over 100,000 people, if I remember correctly, when she posted. And Julianne Childs does an awesome job. And I'm naming her because she goes out of her way to make sure that this Facebook page is comprehensive for Florida.
Who is it?
And her name is Julianne Childs.
Is that Childs from like Governor Childs from that family?
No, I don't think so.
You know, they have a farm. Do you remember Lawton Childs, Governor Childs?
I do not.
Yeah, this is back in the 80s, I think it was. I think it was back in the 80s, and he was governor. And the family, they own a farm up in Sarasota, area, Brandon, I think. And, you know, they have the family owns restaurants. And, you know, the farm supports much of the restaurant usage. So it wouldn't surprise me that that is, of course, part of that, part of the family there.
That much, I don't know.
Yeah. It's just a tidbit, and nugget of cool information that's possibly true.
No, that is very cool. And I will say, okay, I just pulled it up so that my numbers are accurate. So there's approximately 39,000 members to this group.
Oh, you were so close-ish. No.
No, because there was a whole bunch of people that came on. And it's just really important because the idea, the energy around this, as well as other Facebook pages
individual
farms.
We're high tech. Well, I mean, look at that. You did it like we're doing like data search on the fly. You should look up her name. So you should Google her name and see if she's related to.
I'll just have to ask her.
I guess you could do that too.
So, but
takes away from the whole Knight Rider experience that we're having right now.
Yeah. No, I know. Well, yeah. No, it's Julianne Childs, and she just does an amazing job, and you know, and it's but then. I want to say props and kudos too to all the other farmers, the small farmers out here. And again, not just in Florida, because I belong to a lot of Facebook groups and I'm still learning how to manipulate some crevices and facets of Facebook as far as finding stuff and information and just for personal reading and growth. But it's so neat to see all of the farmers that are out there putting their, and I'm going to say this with love, the goofy little pictures of what's going on their farm, just like I do. It's, you know, you want people to be able to connect with what you're doing. You want them to see what you're doing. You know, the goal is, even though we're a closed farm right now relative to biosecurity and not having people on, because we're just too small of a staff and we've got too many things going on at any given time, it's not safe to have people just walking around the property. But it's really important for people to be able to see and touch the farm or
experience
the farm. We haven't done it since COVID. I'm looking at, you're really putting me on the spot here, buddy.
Sorry.
You could. Yeah, no, I know you're not. So don't pretend.
You could have just went like bad. Sorry, I can't.
Hang on. Where's my little microphone fuzzy? I didn't hear you. We've got a couple other things. Manny and I are working on a couple of projects. We've got and have been planning some forward growth items. So we've got several different things coming. Like I think you and I talked briefly, one of the things that we want to do, we have our little farm store that's in Bonita Springs, and it's about just about an hour from the farm. And so right now, that's our retail opportunity for people to shop with us separate from the website. But one of my goals is that since we've managed to, a couple of years ago, we were able to purchase some additional acreage. And so we've been able to expand. And we happen to be sitting right on State Road 29. And so one of our goals is to have a little farm store here on the farm. And that'll be a separated section of that particular a portion of a pasture. And so once we get that set up and situated, then we'll open that up. And then people will be able to shop with us on the farm, but also be able to, you know, be in that space that's separate so that they're safe and the animals are safe, but also to be able to experience the farm. So to be able to hear and smell and taste and see and, you know, all those good things right here so that they can experience the farm, not just at the meat level or the egg level or the honey level, but to actually see the cows, see the sheep, experience the donkey screaming and yelling. So we got a couple things going on with that, but you know, it's a really cool, it's fun. Like I'm really excited about what I have prepared and planned for this year. And so I don't know if we're going to go back to the tours, but I want to be able to set up an opportunity where people can come to the farm, experience the farm, you know, obviously have access to product, but also to, like you just mentioned, and you know, and we've talked off recording, so to speak, of the different things that, you know, I've kind of got planned. And I would love, and this is down line, so I know people are going to be like, when, but one of my ideas is to be able to have a ticketed only event just so we can control people. And we can do multiples of them, but to be able to do something like what you're talking about is bring in a handful of chefs, give them like a box of proteins that they don't know about. Mm-hmm. But meaning they've worked with the proteins before, but like, here's your secret mystery box.
Yeah, okay? I get it.
Here's mm-hmm. your spices. Here's your thing. Go. Like, what badass activity can you engage in and come up with this amazing culinary experience and adventure that we all get to participate in?
You're putting me on this. By the way, so you put me on the spot too, and I think that's awesome. And as we've discussed, yeah, we're gonna. Yes to that. And I feel like you answered my question splendidly.
Oh, good! I'm glad. Which one was that?
Yeah, no, the one about farm tours. It wasn't even like a sidestep or a, you know, you met it head on, and it was a terrific answer. So kudos.
Oh, thanks.
You're welcome. You know, you gotta.
No, I'm being sarcastic.
I know you are, but you gotta. But you still have to. You still have to recognize. You know. Greatness.
Well, and but Carl, I really enjoy, I mean, it's a lot of work. People don't realize how much work it is to have a tour. It's not just like put tickets on the website, let them pay for it, and then show up.
I mean, listen, we used to do warehouse tours for potential clients and stuff. And that's just like in a warehouse, not in a big warehouse, but nevertheless in a warehouse. And it's just, there's so much liability and you got to, you know, everything. There's a lot of
plan everything.
Yes. So I get it.
And it's
a 200 and something acre farm tour, however the hell that would look, would be.
It's 2.5 hours of straight walking and me talking.
Wow.
And it's pleasurable, but it is.
I mean, we just did 58. We're on 58 minutes right now. And I feel like just started. Really? Yeah.
Yeah. No, me too.
You know?
So, yeah. You know, so I would love to do farm tours again, but I don't think. My goal now has kind of shifted, and my piece is, let me give you a tour of the farm, but let me do it in a little bit more of an intimate way. So that's why I do a lot of the videos, whether they're selfie, and I'm working with a couple other little technology things that I'm still trying to figure out. And there's only so much YouTube time to figure this button and that button out, but I'm working on it. And so, you know, I really want to be able to get more of an in-touch experience, like when the beekeeper came. So Don and Juan came out and I spent an hour with them in my beehive suit. And well, their beehive suit that they dressed me in. And I had such a blast.
We got to just get you like in all the different suits. All right,
I'll send you some pictures. They're on our social media. But it was so much fun, Carl.
You're like the farmer. You're like the farmer Mike Rowe. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Well, Dirty Jobs. Yeah. Yeah. No. Like Like I'm always, well, my standard attire is a t-shirt, yoga pants, and boots. Like, you know, and the only variation really is
No,
can't. Hey, you know, I'm pulling it off.
No, you, well, yeah. I mean, it works for you. I couldn't do it.
Yeah. No, yeah. Yeah, let's not envision that one at the moment. but yeah, I just don't see you in boots, yoga pants, and a t-shirt.
Yeah,
walking around the chicken pasture.
I'm going to have to hit the Lululemon store and, you know, see what fits. I don't know.
We'll have to, we'll have to get you a different outfit.
Yeah.
You know what?
No. Nope.
I have the chicken outfit. Let me go find the cow outfit.
Oh, wow. Listen, I'm down.
And then we can put you in that.
I'm down.
I know you are.
You'd
be a good sport.
Yeah, I'm down for whatever.
I know.
Except for the leotards there, whatever they're called. Yeah.
Yeah, no.
What are we calling them? Pull-ups? No, what are they?
Like the yoga pants?
The yoga pants, yeah. Can't do that.
We're not visualizing that one.
Too late. Everybody just already has. They're like, let me Google this
guy. No, that's not fair to them. Oh, you can't unsee that.
Yeah, sure you can. No. Like reboot, you know?
Yeah, no.
Copious amounts of
no, but
you know, whiskey.
But what would your kids think of that?
No, I wouldn't do that. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, no, I got a reputation to uphold. Like, I'm not doing that. Yeah. Cow suit, yeah, no problem. Yeah,
we could put you in the cow suit, and then we'll get your kids fit in.
Yeah, that's fine. I can do that all day long.
I think they would like that.
Yeah, and I get to ride a quad, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's if cool. you want.
Well, that's what you said last time. You're like, yeah, I put the cow suit on. I get on the four wheeler, and I go have a good time. I'm like, that sounds terrific. You know.
See, there you go.
You know, six pack of Coors Light. You're good. You know, that's a night.
All right. So when you come down again, we'll get some goofy animal costume of some sort.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
We will put you on the quad.
Mm-hmm.
And more importantly, we will continue to test out the limits of your technology.
I feel like this is going to ruin my chances with the governor if I do that. He's going to be like, who's this clown? Or cow, or chicken.
Who are these people that are running around in these outfits in the pasture? Yeah, I hear you.
I feel a little dirty right now. I ain't gonna lie. It's fine. We'll do it. Like, whatever. For the kids. It's for the kids. For the children.
We'll do it. Yeah, we will. We'll do it for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness. All right. Fair enough. Deal.
Oh my. All right. So,
what else you got on that list? Are you gonna pop off? Are there any questions?
No, I think.
Or am I done for the night for that?
I think, well, first of all, this was a terrific session, and I feel like we need to have material for like other sessions, you know, because we can literally, I think we can fix the world right here on this little podcast, in one several hour session, but people will hate us,
okay,
you know? So, you know, cause they'll be like, hey, you could have broke that up into like 40 minutes, an hour, maybe, you know, like 45 hours straight, like, you know, you picking up what I'm putting down?
Yeah, but you know what? If you're driving cross country, sometimes you just want to listen to it all the way through.
That's so true.
Because, you know, I can't argue with that. Have a group of people that were following you.
You know what you do? Not today, because I'm mentally not prepared for that. But what we should do is do a little market targeting to the trucker community who... Without them, like, we're not in business, anybody, none of us.
No trucks, no food.
No trucks, no nothing. What we should do is kind of like a, like an all-nighter sort of a thing. You know, like we're just, for them, you know?
Like start at like 2 a.m.?
Yeah, some kind of like just stupid long, you know, cool thing. And we can have people come in as guests and, you know, just make it fun.
I'm down.
You know what I'm saying?
I am totally down for that. You mean like have like a whole series of groups or individuals lined up? That would be really cool.
It would be cool. It would be very cool. I mean, you know, we'd have it for like, I don't know, how long? 3 hours, 4 hours, something like that?
I don't know. I'm open.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think that would be fantastic.
I do too. You know, I'm
so
saying
do we want to get questions ahead of time, or do we want to have it more of a lifestyle?
Oh, no, that would, well,
where people can communicate. Well, if they're driving, they can't really do that, but they could call in. But I don't know if
they have their little headsets and stuff. But the reality is that is something that we would want to put some brain power into, just to make sure that it's fun. You know what I mean? Because that's got to be interesting. So we'd have to have like a little bit of a schedule of, you know, topics or whatever, a bucket of topics, if you will, that would cover that you can connect the dots for a long period of time.
Okay.
You know,
so how about if for those people who let's put that out there, mm-hmm. and let's start gathering questions from those people who are listening to our podcasts.
Yes.
And we can start gathering just.
I'm on a trucker. I'm on a couple of Facebook trucker groups. And I'm going to pose that, and I'm going to just say, hey, what's the busiest, what's the longest night of the year? Not that we have to record per se that, but we'll have it ready for then. You know, maybe something like that. I'll ask a bunch of, you know, pointed questions and try to get some, gin up some, interest in this.
Okay. That would be really cool. Because I know that from me sharing our podcasts with the people who follow Circle C Farm or the farmer Nicole, mm-hmm. I'm getting some really cool, fantastic, honest, straightforward feedback from people, and they're really starting to get energized around the conversation, the candidness. The randomness of the questions that we're discussing, kind of thinks it's not staged and it's not formulaic.
Right.
And so getting and eliciting questions and ideas or thoughts or things that they would want us to cover topically, it's really neat to see some of the questions that are being posed, or the, hey, you know, have you talked about this? Or this would be an interesting thing to hear conversation around. So
it's funny
I'm
mentioned
totally
that.
Open to that.
I had a friend of mine. Why is that? Haven't talked to in a while. He calls me up and he's like, "Hey, you know, I just listened to this the podcast with the eggs. You know, the last one that we did."
Oh yeah.
And I said, "Oh man, that's awesome. Like, what'd you think?" He says, "That was really cool." He goes, "That was super informative." He goes, "You sound like crap. You know, good thing you got the gal on there." I said, "No kidding." I said, "That's awesome. You know, I hope I don't hear from you again in a while." Anyway, but it was
thanks a lot.
You jerk. But there was some, there's some jest laced in that. But true story, though, he did reach out and that's all true. So, I mean, people are definitely listening. And obviously, as we continue, it grows, you know, just like, what we're doing with YouTube and, you know, with our walk and talk shows and restaurant recipes, mm-hmm. and it's a long freaking road, man, but it catches on. And the more people that share and comment, I mean, sharing and commenting are like the holy grail of the algorithm. Watching something and not liking it. Okay. It's something. Liking it is okay. But a share and a comment, man, that is the pinnacle of the algorithms.
That is true.
Yeah. True.
That is true. And the thing is that you and I both value that feedback. You and I both value those comments.
Yeah, of course.
And it's you and I responding. It's not AI. It's not, you know, somebody else on our behalf. It's actually you and I responding to everything in our social media. So, you know, in that, from that sense, there is that direct connection with us. And I think that's the authenticity and the candidness with which you and I are comfortable in this format or this medium is important for people to know.
I think you are correct, Nicole.
Sorry.
So you and that technology.
Oh man. Yeah, that was funny. Sorry, man.
That was cool.
There's a bunch of cheesy, sound effects or whatever that, I have access to that I don't use because while I am into the cheese factor, I typically have a threshold.
Okay.
Yeah. But I think that was
good. Are we finding that threshold as we speak?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I figured
there's some pretty cool buttons on that sounding board because I've seen that board.
Yeah, no, there really are. but if literally I do listen to most of, when I do listen to podcasts, I listen to the, typically to the end, but mm-hmm. I would commend anyone to be here still at an hour and 9 minutes and 52 seconds. If you're hearing this, I'm going to send you a Starbucks gift card. You need to reach out to me, but there's like for two people, that's it. Okay. Because I don't, all of a sudden
the
it's
first
gonna be
two people they hit you up.
Yeah. Yeah. Or else it's going to be like 7,000 people. All of a sudden I'm like, hey, where the hell did you people come from? Yeah. Right. Yeah.
The thing is that you and
I said it,
but you and I enjoy it.
I love it. You know, listen, you know, and people don't realize the effort and work that goes into this. Because even though it's not scripted, or there's still work in topics, and there's still effort to actually to sit at, you know, and we do these things in the evening late, mm-hmm. To actually put the effort into doing this after a long day, and we get up early too. So there's a lot of mental fortitude that needs to go into putting these shows together. So if people actually understood that, I mean, I feel like this would propel faster, and also I think it would penetrate deeper into the realm of podcasting, podcast listening.
Okay,
if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does. It does. And you know what? You and I, when we were putting this together, we talked about what is the best day, time of the week kind of a thing. And mm-hmm. we really looked at and had a reflective conversation about.
That was a 3-hour conversation. I don't know if you remember that.
What, when we were talking about doing this?
Yeah, that was.
I don't remember how, I know it was several hours because you and I can talk.
Yeah, no, it was a 3-hour conversation, which, you know, I'm not saying it like, oh, shame on you, us. But no, what I'm saying is like people need to realize that there's work that goes into this, like some planning and thought, you know?
Yeah, we don't, yeah, it's not, you know, like we'll come up with some random stuff, but it's definitely something that we both value it mm-hmm. and we both are investing our time and energy into it because we do value it.
Yeah.
And, you know, so for me, this time of the night, even though we're both tired because we've both been up since what, 4:30 mm-hmm. Typically, it's nice to be able to have a conversation with you without the phone ringing.
Oh my God.
And people coming in and the emails. I mean, my phone's dinging with emails, but I've got it kind of in silent mode.
Yes.
You know, so it's really nice. And, you know, so that everybody knows, if you are still listening, you know, we were talking about some topics of interest before we start recording. And, you know, Carl's like, I want to try this, but I'm not going to tell you what the questions are. So I want to, you know, I'm like, okay, let's do it. You know, so it's fun. And that's what this really should be. I mean, you only live once, and we happen to be in the food space.
Yes.
And there's lots of things going on. And so it's super cool and exciting that we get to run the full gamut. So for those of you who are listening, thank you. Thank you. If you've got ideas, topics, things you want to hear about, please drop us a note. You know, definitely share with your friends, let them know about us. If there's things that they're concerned or questions about or interested in the whole food space. I mean, I'm open to whatever questions gets posed. And I think Carl, you are too.
Yeah.
So whatever topics come up, I will be happy to research it, give my opinion, personal, professional, whatever, you know, along those lines. So, you know, I think this is cool. It's the really neat transition that has happened over the past, I don't know, it's probably longer than this, but I'll say consciously for me, let's say the last 10 years mm-hmm. of all this transition in
tech.
The positive momentum behind the technology, behind the advancements, is you don't have to go into a broadcasting building with all the equipment in a brick and mortar facility.
It's so crazy.
Yeah. I mean, Carl, you're jumping from place to place to place. You're going into conferences and conventions. You were on with the citrus guy
mm-hmm.
and he works out of his van. Like that's his
well, so
office.
Just to be clear. You know, the guy juices,
so cool.
He juices, that's Citrus America, by the way. They juice across America. They have an express
literally.
Van, yeah, and they outfitted like, it with a bunch of juicing machines, And they drive across the country and they literally stop in busy places and they give juice away. Like they just, you know, it's amazing. It's really cool.
That's so cool. Yeah. I mean, and then there was the food manufacturing convention NAFM. Or whatever. And,
NAFM 23 in Orlando, Florida at the Orange County Convention Center. Yeah, we...
You're so funny.
Yeah, well, so Citrus America invited us to... To be there. And of course, somebody's trying to freaking call me right there. You know?
It's the wrong time to be calling you.
Seriously, we almost made it. Stop it. Are you kidding me? Send a voicemail. Who do you think you are? All right. So, so it's the NAFM 23 show. They invited us over. And we brought all the equipment. We brought the whole setup. And what we were doing... Obviously, it's an equipment show, so it's for machinery and whatever. And so there's people that walk the event looking for different machines. So they had this beautiful booth with all the oranges and grapefruits and all these different fruits and tangerines or whatever. And they're juicing their canned out juice. It was like a 20-foot booth, beautifully made. In that booth was an espresso machine manufacturer. Faima was the machine, and it was espresso Kochi. Anyway, cool people, man. And what we were doing is their potential clients that they were talking to, they would send them to us, and then we would do like these 3 to 5 minute long podcast sessions where they got to talk about themselves, who they are, what they do, whatever. And then, you know, I've been releasing them for the last few days. So that was really cool to do. You meet a lot of awesome people like that.
Yep.
And yeah, and we do also, we do podcasts on site at different farms, hotels, restaurants. And it brings a little bit more character and grit to the show. Because I can very easily have a studio, which is cool too, but we choose to, and what we're doing is more effort in order to get that particular feel. So,
but it's also the authenticness of what you're doing.
Correct.
Because if I would come to you in a studio, we're going to have a conversation. We're going to have a good time. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be an experience. But you coming to the farm is a whole different dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you going to those events or to those restaurants or to those chefs in there in a different kind of space, you know, of what they're doing, if they're not doing traditional restaurant style stuff. And it's just really cool. And it's a very different perspective by you doing that. Cause you're doing both video and audio.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're giving people a multi-pronged look into different aspects that they would never have an experience to do. And that was something you and I talked about with this is we want to talk about kind of all things food and all things food industry and the hot button issues or the not so hot button issues. But we also talked about being able to do things like having Chef Jeff Schrischel come on and you know, and have that conversation or engaging other people and just expanding what I call the spider web, the fibers of what we're all doing. And to listen to some of the ways these other farmers do things or other professionals in the food industry, it's so cool. And that's one of the neat things. Like I've had the benefit, and you have too, of meeting different people. And it's like, oh, this person does that. And oh, this person, oh, I got to connect you with that. Mm-hmm. So not only is it about sharing, but it's also about the interconnections of those of us who are as passionate about what we do in our own, you know, mini medium space, to interconnect with other people in the same similar space, but not the same exact space, so that we can all learn and grow from one another. And that's something that's really, really coming out more and more. And especially with listening to what you're doing with Walk and Talk and with what we're doing with this and where we plan on going, it's really exciting that we're going to be able to share with people who can't be right with us, but they can be with us in the journey.
I feel like
so that's something I want. I've been thinking about a lot. So I just want to tell you that.
Yeah, no, I accept. Yeah, no, it's, you said that, wonderfully. You articulated that in a great way. I don't know how on earth you still have a vocabulary at this time of the evening. Mine shuts off around 7, you know, so I'm on borrowed time. And you're holding it together. But, you know, I think we're in a renaissance.
We're a balance.
Is it yin and a yang for sure? But there's definitely, we're in a renaissance period with food. And in terms of it's not just the prepackaged stuff you get from the box store. You know, people want the story. They want to know where it's coming from. Nobody believes anything anymore about, organic.
A lot of stuff.
Yeah. So, I mean, everybody's skeptical. So, and I think that's what's driving the renaissance, because everybody wants to know. They want to hear. So the fact is we're hitting these veins, like we're this pool of general questions, plural, of the industry. And that comes from the seed, from the birth of a particular animal, livestock, to, you know, fruits and veg, all the way to, you know, the restaurant and the mouth, and who's the distributor, you know, like the whole supply chain. People are caring about this. Mm-hmm. And now it's even getting to the point where, you know, you hear about what's coming from overseas. People are interested in that. Nobody was ever interested in that
before. They are.
Yeah. So we're in a very sweet spot in terms of the food space and the period of time in history that, I mean, I feel like I think we're doing the right work. We just need to just keep going.
I agree. And we had talked about this and we kind of joked about it, but it's the truth. It's like the hashtag great food awakening. Mm-hmm. You know, as people are becoming more aware, they're asking more different kinds of questions. They're wanting to know more information than just very superficial. They're looking at the backs of the boxes and they're actually Google searching the polysyllabic terminology, you know, all those big words with lots of syllables mm-hmm. that they can't pronounce. And they're like, wait, what is that? Ooh, no, I don't want to put that in my body. Ooh, no, I
oh, wait, why is this, why is my, why is my fruits and veggies coming from
a different country?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Or, you know, yeah.
Yes.
So, or why are we having to do this to do that?
And not a landlocked,
quote unquote, healthy.
And not a landlocked country. So, okay. We're not talking about hothouse tomatoes from Canada or, avocados from Mexico or something. Yeah. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about overseas. Anyway. Yeah. So we'll touch that again.
So, you know, I think it's a good thing. Mm-hmm. And I want to continue to be able to have the candid conversation. So, you know, it's kudos to you, props to me, props to you, kudos, you know, however you want to say it. I'm glad that both of us are comfortable in that space. And we're also both very comfortable telling it how we see it.
And we're going to keep it going.
Our perspective.
And we're going to keep it going.
So.
And you know what? I tell you what. The next one, next week.
Next week.
We're going to kick it off. All right.
You know, we may need to tap Chef Jeffrey.
We'll get him in.
For a portion at some point.
Yeah, we're definitely going to follow up on that. All right, so.
Yeah, I've got to get some recipes from him.
Mrs. Nicole, you are awesome. I can't wait till next week. We are.
Thank you, Carl.
You're very welcome. No, you're fabulous. And we are Outski. Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.